Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
Hello, thanks so much, Brent and Amy, for inviting us. We are so blessed to be with you and to enjoy your church together. So great to see those kids up there. I don't know about the rest of you adults, but it just like gripped my heart. See these kids say, his love's never going to stop chasing me. And that just gets me. And so, Andy, thank you so much for what you're doing. And the youth group, that's so awesome. It's so exciting. This church is so great, and we're so blessed to be with you. And you guys have just a fantastic pastor. Brent and Amy, they are wonderful people and a great team. And I just so enjoy doing music with you, Amy. And Brent, as a teacher, you guys are just really blessed. And so I wanted to just draw attention to that. Today, our kids are not feeling well. And so we're going to try and have them come up so you can see who they are. Deborah, Ezra, are you able to come up? They're not feeling the best today. And so might kind of change up how things go today. But these are our children. And I'm going to let them say their names, at least the ones who are feeling up to it.
Hi, I'm Deborah. I'm 7.
Hi, I'm Ezra, and I'm 6.
And Nehemiah's over here. He's 4. And this is Simeon. How old are you, Simeon?
3.
2. All right, this is my wife, Bethany. And we've been pastoring here in Nebraska, up in the Sand Hills, in cattle country, in a town of 500, a town called Mullen, for the last 7 years. And so I'm going to have the kids, before they go sit down, I'm going to have them tell about the flag.
The red is for the blood they shed when they are persecuted.
The blue is for the blue skies.
And the orange is for the apricots. And we can put up the slide. Apricots are important in Armenia. They're grown there. And so we've got flags back there, and especially the kids, but the adults too. If you'd like a flag, you're welcome to take one of those. And we'd love for you to pray for us when you see that flag. Pray for us and pray for Armenia. Okay, the kids can go sit down.
When you were young, what did you want to be when you grew up? Can you remember? Well, when I was about 5 years old, a young single woman missionary to Croatia shared at my church. Afterwards, there was a prayer time, and I felt God speak to me that he wanted me to be a missionary. So I always knew that I was going to be a missionary when I grew up. And this is that dream God put in my heart coming true.
So I was older when I sensed the call of God on my life. And I was really, I wanted to do what God had for my life, but I was waiting for one of those dramatic calls, like the voice of the Lord behind me speaking to me, telling me what to do, or perhaps the letters in my chicken noodle soup arranging to tell me what my purpose in life was. I thought that's how the calling to God, calling that God gives people, how it worked. But it was later in college that a missionary came and shared for the first time this idea of volunteering for missions. I said, what? Can you do that? Is that allowed? And so we look in the Bible and we see in Isaiah 6, verse 8, God speaks to the prophet Isaiah. He says, whom shall I send? Whom will go for me? And Isaiah responds, here am I, send me. He volunteers. And I encourage you, wherever you are at in life, to have that attitude in your heart of, Lord, here am I, send me. Many of you won't be called to go over to Armenia or to some other country, but you might be called by God to volunteer to step across the street and take cookies to a neighbor, or to call someone up on the phone and encourage them. Have that volunteer spirit in your heart. Here am I, send me. Bethany, are you able to sneak away? We're thrilled that God has opened the door for us to serve as Assemblies of God missionary associates to Armenia. Missionary associates, that's kind of like an associate pastor. We will be working with missionaries Shahan and Tyra Tiberian, and they'll be over us and leading us. And we are going for 2 years, and we're praying about a lifetime of missions.
So if you don't know where Armenia is, this purple arrow is pointing to Armenia. It borders Turkey, Iran, Azerbaijan, and Georgia, and Georgia is just south of Russia. It is a tiny country. You could fit it in Nebraska 7 times. Armenia was the first nation to adopt Christianity as their state religion. But throughout the centuries, big, powerful empires have oppressed and persecuted them. The first genocide of the 20th century was the Armenian Genocide. 1.5 million people lost their lives. But even in the midst of horrific tragedies over the centuries, God has not let the Armenian people be destroyed. He has preserved them for a purpose. So Armenia is in a vast sea of Islam. There are hundreds of unreached people groups around Armenia. That means an unreached people group means they have no Bible in their home. People don't have a Christian friend or neighbor to tell them about God's love. And there's no local church where they can go and hear about the love of Jesus. But in this vast sea of Islam, there is a lighthouse shining for Christ. The vision of the Armenian church is that they want to share the blood of Jesus to every nation that has spilt their blood. That vision captures our hearts, and that's why we're going to Armenia. So Armenia is surrounded by a vast sea of Islam. When you think of the Muslim world, what does that trigger in your heart and mind? Do you think of love or hate? Do you think of kindness or violence? Do you think of radical groups who kill Christians? Or do you think of someone who could be your friend? This kind of question is relevant because there are Muslims here in Nebraska. When you go shopping, you see them. Maybe you work with some. They're not just on the other side of the world. Do you know how God views Muslims? He sees them as people made in his image. They're loved by God. They're capable of responding to his love. They are reachable. They only need someone to help them find Jesus. And that begins with a simple hello. They need friendship with a Christian to know what God's love is like and how it can transform their lives. I don't know if Luke is ready. Okay, he is. So Luke is going to come and illustrate how God has the power to transform a life, even someone who looks impossible.
I am Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus and a missionary, an apostle from Christ to the nations. God gave his grace to me, the least of all God's people, to preach about the immeasurable riches of Christ to the nations. But I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. At that time, I was known by the name of my birth as Saul. When I was younger, I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of my ancestors. Oh, I was very zealous for God. I conformed to the strictest sect of my religion, living as a Pharisee. But then there came that Jesus, and all of his controversial teaching. We had thought after his crucifixion that would be the end of it. But his disciples began spreading these lies. They claimed that Jesus had risen from the dead and ascended to the right hand of God. I watched as more and more became followers of that Nazarene. It filled me with such indignation that I became convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is what I did. Breathing out murderous threats against them, I persecuted the followers of this way, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished. And I tried to force them to blaspheme. When they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. On one of these journeys, I was on my way to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, as I was nearing the city, I saw a light from heaven. It was brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground. And I heard a voice saying to me in Hebrew, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." And I said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Jesus. Was it even possible? The voice continued, "Now get up, go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do." The men traveling with me stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they saw no one. I opened my eyes, but I could see nothing, for the brilliance of the light had blinded me. And so they led me by the hand into the city. For 3 days I was blind, could not see anything. And in that time I wrestled with all that had been revealed to me. Jesus, could he really be alive? Is he the Lord? What does all this mean? About that time, God began speaking to a Christ follower named Ananias. The Lord Jesus appeared to him in a vision. "Ananias, yes, Lord, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying." "But Lord, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with the authority from the high priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my names to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." And so, in astounding obedience, and despite all of his fears, Ananias went to the house where I was staying, and he entered it. And even though he knew of all the harm I had done to the church, and how I had come to imprison and torture those who call on the name of Jesus, he laid his hands on me and called me brother.
Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you are coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from my eyes, and I could see again. Ananias said to me, "The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will, and to see the righteous one, and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all peoples of what you have seen and heard. Now, get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." And so I, Saul, who had despised the name of Jesus, became his disciple. Jesus appeared to me. He said, "I have chosen you and appointed you as a servant and a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." And so, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and all Judea, and then to the Gentiles, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. When I came to Jerusalem, I tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of me, not believing that I really was a disciple. And who could blame them after all that I had done? But a dear man by the name of Barnabas came and took me to the apostles. He told them the story of how I had seen the Lord and how the Lord had spoken to me and how in Damascus I had preached in his name. Oh, Barnabas, such a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. It was Barnabas who found me years later and brought me to Antioch. Together we met with the church and taught great numbers of people for a whole year. Since then, by God's grace, I have been a messenger from Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. And in this way, I have fully proclaimed the message of Christ from Jerusalem through Asia, Macedonia, Achaia, all the way to Illyricum. And my ambition has always been to preach the name of Christ where the gospel has never been heard, rather than where the church has already been started by someone else. As it is written, "Those who have never seen will believe, and those who have never heard will understand." Now, I have finished my work in these regions. And after all these long years, I am eager to visit Rome. And from there, I will go on and preach the gospel in Spain. But none of this would be possible if it were not for two brave men. Men who risked their lives in faith and obedience to the Holy Spirit. You see, it was not safe for Ananias and Barnabas to befriend me. For all they knew, I could have been feigning my conversion in an attempt to capture more believers. But they did not let fear keep them from obedience to God. Considering their lives nothing, they stepped out in faith to obey God. We need more people like Ananias and Barnabas, people who will encourage, befriend, and love those who are not safe. Yes, even those who would like to see believers stopped or put to death. Because when we love our enemies and do good to those who persecute us, we are living out the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now may God empower you with the kind of faith to love people like this. May Christ be with you, and the power of the Spirit accompany you as you live out the gospel and share it with your friends, your neighbors, strangers, and even your enemies. God be with you. Amen. We believe in the power of God to transform not just Paul, but difficult people throughout the world. There are others who need an Ananias or a Barnabas in their lives. Someone who will have the courage to step out and connect with scary, lost people. Will you be a friend to someone here in this community who needs your love and needs to know the love of God? The Muslim world needs people like Ananias and Barnabas, people who will befriend and encourage the faith of their Muslim neighbors. And that's why we're going to Armenia. God is calling us to be a piece of the puzzle of reaching the unreached peoples of the Muslim world. I will be going to teach at Armenia Bible College, which is a school started by Global University. And they've been going now for 4 years. They just graduated their very first class with 34 students with their bachelor's degrees. And we're just rejoicing at what God has already begun and what God has yet to do through Armenia Bible College. We believe as we teach, as we invest in the lives of the people of the Armenian church, that God's going to call the people of Armenia to have the faith and courage to go into the nations around them and share the light of Christ. We want to play a role in raising up a generation of people like Ananias and Barnabas who will bring Muslims around the world to a saving knowledge of Jesus our Lord. During the Armenian Genocide, 1915, the old men, the women and the children, they were forced on a desert march across what had been their homeland. The Turks now took it from them to the Syrian-Turkish border, to the death zone there. There's one young woman who is making that trip with her only son, her four-year-old son. That's all she had. And that journey was horrific. It was terrible. It got to a point where people didn't think there was any way any of them were going to survive. This mother made the hardest decision you can imagine anyone ever making. She chose to leave her four-year-old son and continue on the journey. That would be the end of the story for this boy, except that God had different plans. Sometime later, we don't know how long later, the Bedouin Arabs came by and they heard a child crying. They pulled this boy out of the sand. They gave him to a childless couple in their tribe. They raised him as a Muslim. And it wasn't until 17 years later that he learned anything of his heritage. And when he heard that he was Armenian, he decided to leave the only family he had ever known and go and find his people. He found himself at a bus, purchasing bus tickets. And the man selling him the ticket, he was telling him the story. And the man excused himself and went to talk to his wife. He said, "There's a young man here whose story sounds like your sister's story, and he looks like your sister. Is there any way that he could be the one?" They went to the sister. "How can we know after 17 years? She said, "Well, my son, he had a birthmark behind his ear." They invite the boy back the next day, the young man, and there behind his ear was the birthmark. God miraculously brought mother and son together again. The young man went to the Armenian refugee camp. He became a Christian. He married a young Armenian girl, and they started a family. And this story is the story of our mentor missionary's grandfather. Shahan Tiberian's grandfather is the boy in this story. We'll be working with him. God preserved the Tiberian family because he had a purpose for them. And we believe that God has preserved the Armenian nation for a purpose like that. That God has preserved them for a special purpose. God wants to use them to transform the Middle East. That vision of preaching the gospel to every nation that has spilt their blood. That's their vision. And when we heard that, it just captured our hearts. How amazing that they would be transformed by the love of Christ to not hate their enemies, but to reach out to them with the hope of the gospel. We're going to Armenia to equip the church through training at the Bible school, perhaps shorter trainings, to encourage them to come alongside pastors, perhaps in the rural areas all throughout Armenia, and to hear their stories, to pray with them, to come alongside them. If there's anything we can do to serve and help them, we want to do that. We want to see them empowered by the Holy Spirit to fulfill their God-given mission. But in order for us to go, we need people like you to partner with us. We need you to pray for us. Back at our table back there, we've got prayer cards, pictures of our family. Would you take one of those and be praying for us? This whole task of raising the budget, learning the language, communicating across cultures, and being a part of it, it's too big for us. We can't do it on our own. We need God's help. We need his strength. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that comes as we pray and as you pray for us. Please pray for us. And you can give. And as you're praying, you can pray that other people will give as well. That we need monthly partners who will help support us on a monthly basis. We need one-time gifts that'll help us along the way. And third, if God is speaking to your heart, you can go. God calls people of all ages, whether they're 5 or 95, he calls them to do extraordinary things, just ordinary people who are obedient to what God is doing. Be available to God. You never know what will happen. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share our heart for Armenia.